Hey, Jess.
Hello, Elsie. Did I miss my cue?
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
No. Dude, I gave you the cue. You couldn't miss a cue if I said hi, Jess.
Well, that's the idea.
No cue missing in this place,
no,
man.
No.
Because there's two of
nada.
Us.
Nada.
Unless we were just quiet. Quiet.
Correcto mundo. Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
How is everybody?
Hello. Everybody is well.
Okay.
Have you put up your decorations?
No. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I'm terrible.
Well, neither have we. Dude,
What's
I'm
wrong
terrible.
With me?
I'm
it,
more
it is currently
I'm more terrible than
the
you
the seventh.
Are.
And I did schlep them up from the basement. It was like carrying a dead body. It was so big. I bought one of those big red containers last year because I had a little tree. I bought a little Hanukkah tree because both my kids were here last year. And I'm not putting it up this year because since it's only Isaac and he's Tiny Destroyer, that I don't want to do a tree with ornaments like that.
Tiny Destroyer.
There's actually a song. Wait, I hope.
This is good.
Now his latest thing is applesauce. Applesauce.
Oh.
Everything is applesauce. Yes. I want to find you Tiny Destroyer because it's a song I accidentally heard on Pandora, and I bought it immediately because it is my child. I'm not sure if I can, but anyway, so yeah, Tiny Destroyer ruins all the things, and so I want to do decorations, but not anything that he can break, destroy. Not because my stuff is so breakable, but ornaments are glass, and he'll hurt himself. He'll hurt himself. So
a lot of them
I don't
them
want
are.
That to
yes.
happen.
Yeah, it even sounds like it.
Sorry, it has a long intro.
But it's a pretty tiny destroying entrance.
Here he comes, down the hall, just a couple of feet tall, but he's a mighty wrecking ball, Tiny Destroyer.
Oh my God, how perfect is that? That's hilarious.
It's his theme song.
Yes, that is his theme.
Just
wow.
a couple of feet tall, but he's a mighty wrecking ball, Tiny Destroyer.
that's perfection. Yeah. And yes, I understand. I don't have Tiny Destroyers. And well, May May is still a little bit of a destroyer. Although
she's probably
she is a little bit more logical now. She's getting much better. But what we do have fluff balls that are destroyers of Christmas trees.
Cats,
and they attack. You know, they like play with the ornaments and then they jump on the tree and then they do all kinds of scary stuff with the tree because they're cats.
So what do you do? So do you not do a tree?
Well, we do a tree, but very late, and it kind of drives me bananas to some degree. And then there's another part of me that's like, I don't have to deal with the decorations. But now my girls are like, when are we going to decorate? I'm like, oh, geez.
Wait a minute. Why so late with the tree?
As in like December 24th.
A lot of people do that, though. The tradition is to do it on Christmas, which I don't understand either.
Yeah. So, but we, you know, I don't know. I mean, meh. We have to. It's so
Can't
sad.
Can't you just cut down one in your yard and put it in there?
I would rather decorate one that's just outside. I think that
How would you do lights?
Fabulous.
Would you just run? You're not going to do that.
We haven't really ever done lights before. Again, because the cats.
Right.
And they eat the cords. They eat cords.
Maybe that's the key
stuff.
To having a few less cats. Maybe that's the idea. Okay,
yeah,
so what do you do? So you're not into the tree. Any garlands?
No, we have nothing. We have nothing. We have the tree. That's our decoration.
Wait,
we have the tree.
No, so you haven't done lights in the past. You have some ornaments, I'm assuming.
We do have ornaments. They're very beautiful. And we love to do the Christmas tree. But we have nothing.
You want
else.
The other no, things or
nothing.
No?
Nothing. I would love to, but it's annoying to me. And the other and you know what, Jess? It's like the whole... I'm so conscious of like buying crappy things that are for Christmas that are made from plastic and that you can buy over at, you know, Walgreens or something. Mm-hmm. That I all of the decorations, of course, all of the decorations of our tree have been handmade by some person in a third world
like
country.
Vault.
And it's like giving them, you know what I mean? It's giving them back money. It's like they're handmade, they're environmentally conscious, they're, you know, there's like all kinds of like,
that's nice.
Know, more
though.
Stories behind each thing. So we don't just go and get stuff. That's the thing, which I love. Like once I take it out, I'm like, oh, wow. Everything has a story, but it's not like sometimes I wish I could just go be like, oh, let's just go buy red bulbs. I want my tree to be red bulbs and, you know, green triangles and that's it. And but I just can't.
Well,
that's
a schlocky way to go anyway. But like. The first year that we moved into this house, it was like a nice big house and we could actually afford some kind of holiday decorations. I went to Pier 1 and was there for like 3 hours picking out like beaded garland and little fuzzy squirrels in the snow. And like, that's the kind of stuff that I have. I don't have, I mean, and then last year, because I did have a tree, I went to Target, but I picked out frosted blue balls and like I did mostly blue. I knew that was coming. So like frosted blue balls and like some gold and like I still want it to look kind of, I mean, because the thing is that even if I all of a sudden decide to get a tree and decorate it, it can't really be red and green because all my other stuff is blue for Hanukkah. All the Hanukkah decorations are blue. They don't make them in other colors. So a tree naturally would also be, because I'm matchy-matchy, would also naturally be like blue and white lights. Even though not everything I have is, well, nothing I have really is handmade. It's all stuff that I carefully picked out to look seasonally appropriate and pretty and nice and like, but not too like tacky. Like my ex-husband was into like he wanted a fake tree with lights that were already attached to the tree that like you could have a remote and change the direction and speed to which they were blinking. Like it was terrible. And then also, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but my neighbors across the street, which I'm staring at right now, have, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 blow up items in the yard. A penguin, 2 penguins fishing on a polar bear, a train spinning in a mini Santa's workshop, an actual Santa in an Easy Boy chair, Frosty and family, a giant Kris Kringle with like a top hat. Something is sitting on their rock. I can't tell from here. Could be penguins, more penguins. Another Frosty with a candy cane. And they're not tiny. They are huge. It's like a cartoon exploded on their front lawn. Also the first year I sent away for little light up dreidels that I could put on my walkway to just sort of be like, so there, you know, because like I just wanted something to put outside. Like I don't, but Hanukkah doesn't really, you don't really do that for Hanukkah. Then I just decided one year, just forget it. I don't even care if it's Christmas or Hanukkah. And I just bought like a ton of white lights. I'm just going to put them up because I think they're pretty. God damn it.
I know. I think
they
lights are pretty. I mean that there's something,
also,
there's something amazing. It is
a lot of
work.
All these lights. Do you think I've opened them? That was 2 years ago. It's a giant, like, what's the word when you roll stuff up?
What do you mean?
You know,
like you mean you'll wrap it?
No, like it's a string of lights, but it's so many lights that they're on like a wheel.
Okay.
I don't know how else to explain it.
Wow.
It's like you could take the end and walk away and be in Pennsylvania before you stopped. That's what I mean, before they unroll, because I wanted to do like the porch and make it look pretty, and then I'm just like, and then you know it's cold and I've never done it before, so I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody else wants to help me because they're just like, look at the Jew trying to put up lights. And so it doesn't get done. Maybe John can come over and help me because he's both tall and experienced, whereas no one in this house knows what the F they're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure that we could figure it out over here, too. Oh,
I think that's a no.
But we have no, we don't have a plug on the outside of the house. So
oh,
Randy,
do.
Even right now, when he's doing work on the tiny house, Like he has to put the magical, not the magical, the real thick,
yeah,
you know, the
yes.
orange, super thick, like things through the window inside of the kitchen and, mm. and stick it inside of one of the kitchen plugs to run the saw. And it's like, well, no, that ain't going to happen for the outside because yeah. it's cold and we
have
to close
the
window.
I have a plug on the front porch and one on the back porch, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have
that. It's useful.
So, therefore, that
it is useful.
Makes it, yeah, so that was like a real, obviously, we are not the people to come to their house to see how beautifully decorated we
it's
are.
All right. There's no pressure.
At least at this moment. That's okay. Nope, nobody sees. We can just wear Santa Claus hats and be done with it. Or Rudolph hats.
This year for Thanksgiving, we did holiday in pajamas and just watched movies. And it was so much fun that we're going to do it again for Christmas. In fact, I need to buy myself a onesie for just such an occasion.
There are so many cool onesies
yeah,
out there now.
Yeah, but not for fat girl like me. Hold on.
They're
plus size onesie. Watch, I'll just see like a parachute with a hole in it.
Well, dude.
I'm kidding.
Onesies aren't particularly.
Target, Kohl's, Amazon. There's a lot, actually. There's a few.
There's a lot of places with those things on. It's just like I'm just so done with it because every time I would take it off, it would fall in the toilet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're cold as a mother. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you sit on the
toilet. No, you're right. No onesie for me. You're right. I'm going to find just nice, well, what I was talking about last time, pajamas that are warm that don't make me sweat.
I've been keeping an eye out.
Because I have really thick fleece pants, like blanket pants, but even on the coldest day, like you can't sit on the couch without your tuchus getting a little sweaty because you're wearing a blanket on your skin. It's just weird. Anyway, maybe not you, but me.
Well,
I don't agree. I don't agree. I think if you wore these pants, your ass would be like, get me out of here. I'm pretty sure.
I'm not going to, no, I will take the bet and because
well,
my
doesn't
butt
matter because these
not
pants aren't even mine. Them. I think they were my, I don't know where they came from. They might have been Emily's boyfriend's and I could fit three Elsies in them. They're so big. They're not even my size. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, good times. Good times.
Good times. But talking about some holiday stuff that's happening, I want to get you guys into it that, you know, Libsyn is still holding the free year of hosting
all
every
right.
Fridays. So you have at least two more times for you guys to figure out if you, not figure out, but at least participate in the drawing. And really, all you have to do is go to the Libsyn page at around 11:15 Eastern Standard Time, 11:17 actually, to be exact, over on Facebook. So facebook.com/Libsyn. You can go check that out on Fridays, mm-hmm. only Fridays, up to the last day. You know, before the new year. And there is an image that says, promote your latest podcast episode within that limit, underneath that image. And that's all. You have to promote it. You have to add a link to the latest episode that you just published, kind of describe it so people know, you know, what they're listening to. And that's basically the extent
of
what you need to do. It's you just have to promote yourself. And then it's been so great because we've had, at least almost 100
awesome.
Posts in social media every Friday. And it's amazing because people are really finding new podcasts. So even if you don't win a free year of hosting, you get to find out about all of these great podcasts out there. People get to find out about yours. So it's a win-win no matter what. And just do it. You can win. We're going to be giving away 3 free year of hosting hosting accounts to somebody randomly chosen. So do it. And I'll put a link in the show notes again with all the information. But literally, it's the easiest thing ever. We wanted to make it easy for you. That is all. And also, you guys, Pod Fusion is coming up. We just did an interview with Dave.
Oh! Man, he was
ready.
We just
did an interview with Dave Jackson.
With that one, wasn't he?
He was
just ready to go.
Yes, he was ready.
So on it.
We did an interview with Dave Jackson about PodFusion that's going to be coming out very, very soon. So you guys, go check it out. shepodcasts.com/PodFusion. It's our one-day event that's happening in February. You guys need to show up. It's going to be an incredible, incredible time. If you want to get $70 off the entire PodFusion/PodFest event, Use the coupon code SHEPODCASTS as you check out, and we cannot wait to hear from you.
Yay!
Or to see you.
It's going to be really fun. Yay! So exciting. Definitely check out the PodFest Chronicles, though, because it really, I think, helps people understand what the heck we're going to do that day, which maybe we haven't done. Apparently,
exactly.
We haven't done such
it's gonna
a good job
amazing.
Of doing so far.
No, but we're probably going to bring all it. Right. We're going to be doing it a better thing here very soon. But anyway.
The news.
Are you ready for some news?
I was thinking about the news.
Could I harmonize?
News.
Maybe we should.
For
I know.
The
podcaster.
Podcasting news.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. Remember how we talked about the radio?
Yes. And in fact, since then, it's been like everywhere. I can't. In fact, we talked about it, and then like I mean, I feel as like it's been a month, but like maybe not. But like definitely the week or two after we talked about it, Scott was like, "There's this amazing new app," and I'm like, "I know." And he's like, "And you can," and I'm like, "I know. I reported on it 2 weeks ago. Thank you very much."
Well, so here's my contention with this, my point of contention.
Oh dear, here we go.
Here we go. But if Scott's been using it, good for him.
I didn't say he was using it.
And it
I said he told me about
tried...
it and told me of the stuff he could do. I didn't say he used it. I doubt it.
Okay. Well, so here's the issue with that. Not mind you, I have been corresponding back and forth with their support team because I
of course
want
you have.
Because I really want to engage with it. I want to see the possibilities. I thought that, you know what, this to me sounds like it's got more potential than anything else that has been created thus far. So I wanted to engage with it, go all out, meaning I want to listen to my podcast with it. I wanted to import my feeds into it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just, you know, do what I would do normally.
Right.
The problem is that at this point, it stays open for exactly half a second before it crashes.
Boo!
And it has been doing that now for about 3 weeks. And thus, I have been corresponding back with their support team.
What'd they
say? And I'm just saying, like, this is what's happening. And then
is it just
the guy,
your phone? Is the guy like, it's just you, I'll say.
No, actually, he contacted, like, the last correspondence that I had with them was possibly about a week ago because I had an issue importing my OPML file, which is basically the file that holds all of my podcasts, right? That's subscription. So you don't have to manually do it. You import it. It automatically sees the podcast that you like because it's based supposedly, right, with the reason that Radio Public is so amazing is that the more you use it, it's sort of like Netflix. It starts to give you other podcasts that might align with the kind of stuff that you like to consume. And I thought, I want to see what the algorithm is according to the stuff that I'm consuming right now. Mm-hmm. The problem is, again, I imported the OPML. He helped me out with that. And then I said, hey, dude, I got the OPML in there. I got all my shows in there. And it stayed open exactly for 2 seconds before it crashed. I uninstalled it. I reinstalled it. It's still happening. I didn't hear from him for a week and a half. And then he just emailed me back the other day and he said, hey, we've just put out a new update, which could, you know, hopefully it solves a lot more of the crash situation and whatnot. Give it a go. And I was like, oh, cool. So then I just gave it a go. And sadly, it does not. It still crashes upon opening. And I emailed him back and I said, I'm sorry, it's not working. But at the same time, like, I'm still sitting back waiting. It's just that this is what drives me bananas. They're getting so much press right now. And a lot of press in a lot of different places. And it's exciting a lot. And people are reporting on it. You know, Nick Gua reported on it. But what happens with a lot of these apps is that we share it, meaning, you know, you and I are talking about it. Let's say somebody puts it up in one of the Facebook groups. Tons of websites report on it because of the, you know, things that are being said about the app and interviews and whatnot. But nobody's really actually trying to use the app.
Well, that's ridiculous, is it not?
You know, well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, in the She Podcast group, it was like, hey, guys, and then they will share a link to the app and or to an article written about the app. Oh, look, and everybody is going to go, oh, that sounds really interesting. That's so cool. And excitement. Yay. But no one is going, like, what She Podcast went out there, like She Podcaster went out there and were like, ooh, I'm going to go download that app and see and consume my content there now.
Right.
Nobody's going to do
that.
That's right. Except for me, of course. But because I want to change that. I want to give an honest opinion. I don't want to regurgitate what the press is saying about this app, because the possibilities are fantastic. I'm glad that I can do all these things if it doesn't crash.
Right.
But I'm going to be, I'm still going to be playing around with it, because again, the potential is great. So hopefully they'll get this stuff set up or fixed maybe March.
I mean, one can only hope.
So anyway, that's it.
Oh, that's kind of a shame.
It Boo. Is a shame.
I think it's hilarious when people report on stuff, but then don't actually. It's kind of like saying like all those rumors when someone's dead.
Yeah.
And like, you're the only one that's like, he's not dead. I just saw him walking across the street. He's right there. Everyone's like, he's dead. Hold the funeral. What do we do? It's about, you know, they're like, it's the best thing ever. And you're like, no, but wait, though. No one's touched it but me.
Yeah. And I think that's the issue here. But then actually that brings us to another little bit of news here that this is huge happening right now as we're recording on December 7th. You guys won't get this until next week somewhere. I forgot that December 10th. I don't know when we're releasing this. Tinder.
Yeah.
Has launched a new app.
Thank God.
A new podcast. A new audio program. Oh. Sorry.
Still,
Tinder
thank
launches
God.
A new podcast backed by dating data. So it seems like they hired Gimlet to create this new podcast. It's a branded audio program. So it's along the lines of, you know, some of the other ones that have been out there, like GE has done one of these things, you know, eBay, stuff like that, that they've been creating. We've reported on all these shows as well in the past, where it's not necessarily, hey, Tinder, it's about Tinder and we'll talk Tinder. They're really doing something, I guess, more on the narrative scope of things. And it's everywhere. I mean, all over the podcasting news space, Tinder has a new app, a new podcast. But I would like to talk about it from a kind of like a different perspective, because these large companies right now are investing upwards of, I would say, $15,000 to create these podcasts for them. High end, you know, narrative style, and it's negotiative, you know, to be a pretty substantial investment on creating content that at this moment, you know, is the cool thing to do for companies. Now, my question is, do you think that these companies will be kind of burnt out on investing so much money on this new cool thing that is doing podcasts, branded content? Oh my God, audio is so cool. And not have the type of ROI that they would have imagined would have happened.
I mean, don't you think it depends on how creative their content is? Because, like, there's a lot you can do with Tinder to make it interesting. And so many users mean crazy large audience already. So, but then what is their ROI? Is their ROI exactly? Because obviously it's not going to be sponsorship, because that would just be dumb. It's more users.
No, it's actually getting more people to use Tinder, I would assume. More users.
In that case, but what do you think the ROI is for GE? It's kind of like Kleenex, isn't it?
That's true. It's sort of like knowing, I think they're kind of like an industry leader for being top of mind. You know, when people think about, hey, I need a new appliance. And the first one that comes into mind is GE. I think that kind of, it's sort of like taking that, the mind share of people around something like that is what they're paying for GE. And for, I think that it's also evoking, I understand what they're trying to do. And I guess my biggest question also is revolving around the impact that a company wants to have, and being able to create an impactful podcast. Does it merit you investing upwards of $15,000?
If you're a big company,
can you do,
right?
Or can you have, I'm not sure, because I think that it can be done for much less. And you can have the same type of impact. Am I wrong about that? What do you think?
I don't think that they would trust a show that they didn't have to invest more in. But I agree with you. But that doesn't mean I don't agree with you.
Yeah, right. I guess.
So, like, I have a new consulting client that It's a nonprofit organization. They're in New York City. The main host of the show is a relatively famous comedian. They have other comedian people that pop in and out. And like, I met them in New York City when I was at She Leads, and we started talking about the podcast. And she was just like, "Oh, well, the person who's editing our show isn't even an editor. She's more of a video production person. She just does it because she was the only person I knew to do the audio." And I'm like, "Oh, great! How much is it? $500 an episode." I was like, "What are you talking about? You're paying $2,000 for her just to take out your ums and ahs? Are you out of your ever loving mind?" But they just pay whatever. And I think that big brands are doing the same thing. Like, they don't know how much it is to pay talent. I mean, there is a standardized rate sheet out there now for a producer or on-air talent or whatever, but that doesn't mean that anybody has to go with it. I mean, like, okay, like what's her name? Catherine Keener is doing that new branded show. Who made up what her salary is going to be? Who knows? I mean, wouldn't $200 an episode feel a little small, though? I mean, she's a pretty well-known name. So you just kind of have to, like, make it up. And so I think, I don't know, like, if they poured in $15,000, I mean, you just think about, I don't know, doesn't mid-roll, they're creating their own content. How much do you think they're pouring into that? And they are, like,
yes.
I mean, they know tons of independent podcasters that have just happened to grow big enough to work with them. It doesn't matter. They're still going to spend $50,000 in production on these shows. Who knows why? And then on the other hand, it's kind of like advertisers, too. Like, if I tell them it's $1,000 and an agency tells them $5, they'd rather pay the $5. I don't know why. It makes no sense.
You're right. I think that there's something to be said with that. Something about money.
It's the
and
value.
Numbers. It's and numbers. And it's kind of...
How much do you value it?
It's the perception. Yeah. And it's also the perception of value. And I guess I understand that concept. And I think that... I guess I'm talking to our audience members that, you know, the impact that your podcast has is not equal to the amount of money that you're paying for it. Meaning if you are the sole person that's behind the microphone and you are totally strapping it, like, you know, it's like the $5 account on Libsyn. You've got like the one microphone and you're putting your stuff out there and that's about the extent of it. You're not outsourcing anything. You're doing everything yourself. So bootstrapping all the way up to, you know, an entrepreneur of sorts, like a, you know, somebody that's online that is, you know, hire somebody like Jessica Rhodes to get their, you know, interview connections and whatnot out there and has an editor and are investing somewhere between, I don't know, $300 to $1,000 a month for these services to get their podcast out there. The impact that that podcast has isn't really about the money that you invest in it. It's really about the content that is in it. And that whenever I start to see conversations around this, you know, I would like to be one that's being paid, you know, $15,000 up per episode or whatever obnoxious amount of money it is. Hey, I'd be totally in for it. But at the same time, the message that's put out there isn't what I want, the totality of what a podcast is capable of doing to be. I don't know if that was
even
clear at all.
Yes, but you know, when we very first started talking about the Procast podcasting, I always compare it to, I just feel like it helps people understand better when I compare it to television. So it's sort of like YouTube videos versus network shows. Like, yes, they're going to invest in set and lighting and cast and sound and production people and social media people and marketing people because it's a network television show. Whereas like, yes, anyone can turn on their camera and do something similar or just as good or probably funnier on their own, but they're just two separate things. And so Tinder, it's not the same as what we do. It's never going to be the same as what we do. So like, yeah, all right, invest your money in it. I mean, it'll be your professionally produced, whatever, slick-sounding radio-type show, I guess. It's not going to be what we do. And that's all right, isn't it? I mean, it would certainly be more interesting if Tinder users just got on there and talked about their terrible Tinder experiences. That would be a funny show. That would be a great show. But we can still do that show for free.
We can still, but okay, but see, here's the other, I know that's hilarious. No, and again, that's kind of what I want to get to, because for me, when I'm speaking from, it's not this whole procaster versus, you know, indie podcaster thing that we're talking about here. I was talking just simply about the impact your voice has in the world, that it can have an equal amount of impact to your listeners. Whether it's a $15,000 investment or whether it's a $5 or to $10 investment that you made once. So, which takes me to the next article here that I love. And this is something that
I do have an answer for that. So I worked in Subaru corporate headquarters, and there were many times when, you know, they were trying something out with the Share the Love campaign or the this or the that. And you float an idea in a team meeting and they say, yes, let's get some research on that and figure that out. I mean, at no point in the meeting are you able to go, well, I know a guy that does SEO. That's never going to happen. You're not going to be able to get Subaru to do SEO unless you can find an SEO specific marketing agency. Like, they almost can't do, it's like it, you can't even float it and then be like, I know a freelancer that does this. You can't. It's like, it's ridiculously unheard of. So if somebody has the idea in Tinder to do a podcast, you can't be the person in the meeting to go, I know this great audio editor who does $100 an episode. I mean, they'd laugh at you. They would laugh right in your face. That you'd have to say, like, I know a guy who works at CBS Radio, or maybe we can get this audio production company to cover it. Or, you know, I mean, like, maybe, you know, I mean, they'll look for professional voiceover artists. You can't just be like, I'll make a good host. That'll never fly. It would never fly.
No, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the end product. I'm talking the impact with the audience.
But I'm just saying there, it doesn't matter if the impact is the same, no matter what. You are correct. Again, it doesn't matter, because in those meetings in larger companies, they're not talking necessarily about, well, how can we spend the least and get the most impact? They're saying, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. Where are the companies going to help us do this correctly?
Right.
And I mean, impact is secondary, because content is meant to drive sales. Sorry.
Right. Boo, who is? But which is taking me... Well, no, but now we're... Okay, so we're going to talk about the next article, which is a little bit more on the potential of what I'm talking about.
Avid.
So there's this lovely... this lovely thing that BRX has, which is the Podcast Garage. And so it's a local... Basically what it is, a podcast garage. It's like a place you can go in there. You rent it out as a podcaster or as an audio person. You do your recordings in there. It's sort of like, I believe there's an element of having it be a co-op of types. Like, you could be a member of the garage and you kind of pay a monthly fee and you have a certain amount of, you know, things that you get when you go over there. So you have the opportunity to create and use this incredible audio work and have people there that are going to be supporting you in your journey. So anybody can actually use this, but which is awesome. But what they've been doing too is that they've kind of come into a relationship with sixth graders from a Gardner Pilot Academy in Alston, which is in the same place as where the garage is. And what they've been doing is that these little sixth graders are using podcasts to capture stories, right? And it's so awesome that these little kids have basically what happened is this. They had a field trip. They went over to a podcast garage. The people at the podcast garage basically said, hey, check it out. Look at what you can do. Fancy equipment. Look at all this fun stuff. You can record this and that and this and that. And they gave them examples. And then when they went back to their school, the teacher was like, why don't we all create these stories, right?
So brilliant.
I know. And so then the kids got an opportunity to tell a story that impacted them. So they chose the material for themselves. And it went from something like that were really poignant stories, which involved violence, to things something like, you know, the best present that they got or whatever. But they got an opportunity to create the story themselves. They wrote it. They recorded it. They edited it. They redid it. They found out what worked and what didn't work. And I just think that that kind of stuff is so amazing, because look at all the things the kids learned already about, you know, that's like true education. It's an immersive sort of, it's everything. They had to think it up. They had to write it down. They had to edit the thing. They had to talk it out. They had to use the tech. They had to help with each other. And how amazing is that?
It's amazing. But is your point is that it's better than the Tinder podcast?
No, my point is that when you were talking about before, it's like, well, isn't it just to drive sales? And I said, no, it's about impact. So this is all about impact. This isn't really to drive sales, although people will really want to go use the garage now because it's gotten so much in the news and you'll see that there's a possibility to do this. But the other thing is that I guess the impact that this could have is to have other schools participate in things like this and empower more students and give more students the voice or the ability to have the skills to express themselves in this way, which I think is brilliant. So that's my point.
I 100% agree. I think that would be amazing. I think every corporate culture is different, and I think shit rolls downhill. So, like, if somebody up there is like, we got to get into this podcasting thing, we have to do it as soon as possible, we have to drive sales, we're failing, we're flailing, then they're going to do whatever they take to drive sales. And in this case, their purpose was something different, and maybe they just happened upon it. And, like, there's lots, I think, of big brands that are at least considering – like Glamour, right? Or what was that podcast, What She Wore?
Yeah, it was a Glamour. Yeah, yeah.
That's just Glamour. Going to, mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of like a soft sell. You're naturally going to want to, you know, if you listen to that show, be more of a voracious reader than you were before. And even if not, you'll still have a more positive attitude towards the brand itself and so on and so forth. I mean, there's just two different kinds of marketing people, two different kinds of marketing agencies, two different kinds of corporate cultures. And some are very hard-nosed, sales and numbers-oriented. And some are, how can we impact the community in a positive way that, oh, yeah, might increase our sales? That's just two schools of thought, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, it is. And I think that what my the conversation that I want to have is around the cultural impact of this and the actual, not necessarily anything to do with brands or anything to do with companies, but to understand, like, I guess the next step for something like this would be for me to say to this, if I were, as I'm reporting on this right now, you don't need to have the garage to empower your students this way, teachers. You all or all of your kids have at least one smartphone in their faces. There can be access to a computer, and you guys can put something like this together in your own classroom. You can start to do this kind of work where the student understands how to put narrative together, how to tell their own stories, how to get their voices out there, minus an actual studio or to do it in this one way. Because I think podcasting is about the independent voices getting out there and the fact that you can do it without all the fancy stuff.
I agree.
That would be the next level for me. Even though I love the fact that the garage exists, I think it's fantastic. But the truth be told, that's like a, there's one in the United States, right? Or maybe two.
I wonder how many teachers listen to our show.
I don't know. But they can do this, you know, and I guess part of it is that, especially with the amount of, okay, going to libraries right now, a lot of libraries have iPads. And even if it's not iPads, they have some kind of computer or some kind of tablet available for kids to use. And I know this because we go to the library all the time. Even having a program at a library where they can start to create audio programs like this would be incredible. In fact, the majority of libraries offer programs like this for people to come in. They just had one on our library where it was like kind of recycling t-shirts and making them into bags, which was super cool. And the only thing you had to do was bring a t-shirt And they would also give you a t-shirt if you didn't have one there, which is just fabulous. They have all of these things, all of these programs. So even though, you know, here that they're working with Conjunction and, you know, Harvard is involved with this and this academy and the garage, and there's money going back and forth because there's also investment in creating programs like this, you don't need that. You can actually just, you can do it. You have everything you have already. Most of us do. And I guess that's my thing, that you don't need all that stuff. And it is important for us to start to teach our students, or especially about how to positively impact social media and even social activism by sharing your voices with what you already have. And you don't need the fancy computers and the fancy microphones.
I just had a harrowing thought, and it's definitely going to pee in your cornflakes, but no. It's a question for you.
Oh,
this is a lovely, encouraging, positive, and supportive speech from someone who has literally not dealt with a public school system in 20 years. So let me just ask you this. Who's going to teach the teachers how to use the computer and the iPad and the microphone and the other stuff? And what percentage of those teachers do you think know how to even work their own cell phone properly? It's low.
I know. I guess, yeah, that's like, it's low. I know.
Low.
But you know what? I mean, there's also, and I guess it's because of the education, you know, where we're going right now to kind of supplement the homeschooling that we have. I can pitch a class like this for the program that we have. I can pitch a class like this. These kids will be open to it. The parents will be open to it. I don't have to deal with the school system.
Even the teachers our age, though, don't know how to do it.
Oh, totally.
They would never know how to go to Boss Jock or Garage Band. Like, they know how to teach second grade or whatever.
True. I mean, there could be, you know, bits and pieces. But the idea is out there. The idea is out there. And I think part of it is that, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I would really love to do, to be able to help the students do that. And part of it is like, let's get the teacher out of it, because the kids will figure it out so much faster. I mean, my girls have figured out how to start to make movies by themselves with my little, you know, old iPhone. They're creating their own stuff already. And I haven't said anything to them about any of this stuff, you know. But yeah, I understand what you're talking about. In fact, somebody just put up a link on the She podcast group about the harrowing statistics around people using the internet or using computers, that it's pathetic. So I didn't read the article. I just read the headline, and she made a really great point. I don't even know who it was. I'm not going to go in there and look for it right now, but you're right.
It's an amazing idea, but I don't think teachers, I just, you know, part of the reason Elsie and I work well together is that she has all these amazing ideas. And like, in life, I'm the dream killer. I'm Jessica Dream Killer Kupferman.
She is the dream cleaner. She does do the dream cleaner stuff, which I appreciate very much.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
Somebody has to come out and sweep up behind all your unicorn dust and go, well, who's going to do this? How will it work? Where will it happen? How will it be? What are the semantics? What if it's a disaster? You know, my job in life, I mean, because even as a web designer, like even as a marketing person, is just, you know, my job is to sort of figure out like the semantics of how it's all going to be best optimized. And I guess the point is, like, I'm sitting here thinking about all the teachers that Emily and Nathan have had. They're now 18 and 20. And I can think of I don't even think I can think of any that would know. First of all, they would even come up with an idea this creative. Second of all, have the passion to execute it. And third of all, know how to work any equipment.
Yeah, and well, mind you, I actually work, you know, just like in that, that's when you start to get your nonprofits together and things like that. I worked for East LA Classic Theater in East LA for 3 seasons. And, you know, the whole concept around that was the fact that we went into East LA schools. We created it was a Shakespeare show, but that it was all like really fun, localized, diverse, you know. So it was like, you know, Romeo and Juliet was set in a specific time frame for the majority of like Latino or Spanish speakers, with their culture, with their accents, you know, all that kind of stuff, with funky music and things like that. But the learning aspect of it was that they got a chance to see the show. But then afterwards, there was a component that was like a 13-week program where we would go into the schools every Wednesday or what, I don't, once a week. I would go into an East LA school. I had a partner. So it was like two of us would work together with the set of 13-year-olds, and we had a curriculum that we followed that was playwriting. And we would start from the beginning. We followed this curriculum all the way to the end. And at the end, the students would put in, they would create a play. So they gave us everything. They gave us the tools for everything. They gave us the theater games that we were to play, the exercises for every week. It was all so week to week. It was set up. We would go in for an hour. We would leave. That's it. That's what we would do. We were paid for that. So that was one of the things that was the ability to do this. So you can create a program. It's just that obviously East LA Classic Theater was the program. The person at the helm was the one that pushed this out. The schools would say, yes, I would like to have this happening in my school. Then we would pick the people that would go in there and do this because we would also have training. We would show up and be trained. We would actually have to do the entire curriculum ourselves. We would then get the skill set. We would be broken down into partners, and we would do this. And every season or every semester, we would go to a different school. Was it a challenge? Yeah. Going to East LA and teaching playwriting to 13-year-olds, not an easy thing whatsoever.
No, of course not.
But it was very, very rewarding for the one or two that actually heard what we were teaching. What you know, because it was essentially it was what I'm talking about now. Essentially, that's the program. It's giving them a voice, having them create a narrative, having them tell their stories and all that stuff. Essentially, it was that. But it was challenging. I mean, 13-year-olds don't want to have anything to do with this kind of stuff. Zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like it was challenging, but at the same time, I wouldn't change that experience. Is incredible. The way that we did reach a couple of students here and there was amazing. And maybe I wouldn't think 13-year-olds. Maybe I would start a little younger, maybe like 9, 10, 11 or something like that before they get jaded, or even later when they're older, a little bit older, because that age group is tough. But I'm saying that the ability to do a program or create a program around this is doable. It's just that it's basically a full-time job.
Right.
I know, you know, you have to do all this stuff. So, anywho.
Yeah.
And that
I hear you.
Brings me to my personal tip for today.
Elsie's tool tip.
So it's not a physical tip. It's actually a tip that kind of dives into this whole conversation that I've been having about impact, because I've been needing information. And so basically what I'm saying to all of you guys, that if you need to connect with an expert on something, search for podcasts. Meaning if you need a lawyer,
what?
If you need a doctor, if you need a dentist, if you want to know what kind of therapy you need, if you want to know about health insurance, if you want to know how to, you know, I don't know, something about how to sell your house, what are the best things of in terms of real estate, how to sell your car, stuff like that. Look for experts about this industry and search and see if you can find a podcast talking about this. Because you will get so much information, oh my God, about this stuff that you didn't even know that was even out there. Sometimes it's so much a richer experience than finding an article about something than people talking about exactly what you're looking for. So I just needed to find some information, and I found this podcast that I'm going to talk about right now. And the thing is, it's like, it's not, and the reason I'm talking about impact is because it served an incredibly powerful purpose for me. And it's not a high-end podcast. It's not something that's coming from WNYC. It's not something that somebody paid $15,000, but it's an incredibly amazing, impactful piece of audio that's out there. It's the lawenforcement.social. And you can go to lawenforcement.social. It's the Law Enforcement Social Media Podcast. It is run by police officers in the LA area. It's kind of like Coroner Tech. Yeah, but it's like with police officers. And they really kind of like focus a lot on, as of now, the podcast is actually now focusing more on teaching law enforcement how to use social media. But so I'm basically empowering their own peeps. But at the same time, they also have experts in fields that are addressing issues that have come around social media, best practices, law breaking thing, you know, breaking laws, or how to be safe online, privacy issues, all kinds of stuff like that. And they have a
wait a minute. Now I know why we're talking about this podcast.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
And so that's like, it's been really, really awesome because they really make it accessible. They give you stuff that you can really, it's not like, well, I think that this would be one of the best things that you could do. It's like, this is what the penal code in California says about X, Y, and Z. This is the number. This is what it says.
I can.
And you're like, oh, cool beans.
I can.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know that it, I mean, this is really awesome. You sound very positive about it. Mostly my daughter has been involved in cyberbullying for years, little things here and there about people's posting mean things about her and saying derogatory stuff about her. And, you know, regardless of what the law say, it always feels so hopeless because you can't really jail someone for like tweeting or, it feels really hopeless. And part of that is, again, the school system. And part of it also is that, like, this is awesome that they have all these resources. But again, I feel like there's so few cops that know how to deal with it.
Exactly what his platform is. You know, that's what
his
that
whole
is
point
exactly
is to teach
what this
them,
is about.
Right, but
exactly. And
how
so,
do we get them
and
to
the
listen
is,
to it? Is the question.
Well, I think that that's exactly what that's not necessarily a problem for that podcast. That's a problem for the majority of podcasters.
I know.
Because that's what, you know, so it's not about, it's I think that there's an element of us not sitting back and going like, well, the person that should be listening to this isn't going to listen and being all like, oh, I'm so disappointed.
I'm not saying that, really, but how do we just get more?
Well, I think that part of it is me talking about it. It's getting somebody in your court to talk about or to share your content because it's impacted them. That has a lot more clout than you putting out a tweet and being able to get something out there. How did I find out about this podcast? Because I reached out to our community, basically, key people that I know and that have perhaps more insight into social media, things like this. And Nicola Bood, she actually told me, like, check this article out. Where she was actually on the show. She was on episode 22, which is a very, very informative show for that, if you guys want to check it out. And she was on the show as a lawyer with another woman and I think three other cops. And they just kind of talked a lot about online safety for women and all kinds of stuff like that. But she's the one that shared it to me. And then just sharing an article or basically the show notes for the show gave me all of these other police officers that are working specifically in social media and at basically going into cyberbullying and online harassment and families staying safe and all of these hashtags that I didn't even know existed and that they're present. You know, they're present. There is a police presence there. They care. They understand. I did not know this. So, yeah, maybe not all.
Yeah, they
absolutely
care. No, I know they care. I'm not sure they're so equipped to know how to deal with it. And also, I think most people who are being harassed digitally don't feel like it's worth calling the police because they feel like they're in immediate danger, but they're not technically in immediate danger. So they know. So they think. Right. So it's like, unless someone's standing in your front lawn, what can a cop actually do?
Yeah. And also, and I think that also the question arises too. And actually, Nicole talked about this as well. She was saying, like, you know, if you're doing, it's sort of like she was asked the question point blank, like, if somebody is being harassed in a specific state, but the harasser is in a completely different state, who files the charges? Like, who's in charge? You know, which one, right? And she was like, I don't know, because especially if you're doing something like online businesses right now, if you're doing business online, then what state, what rules do you apply to you?
Yeah. Well, so that's
right?
Why
as a business
this
owner.
Is a great site for that, for sure.
Exactly. So it's really good because it just furthers the conversation. But anyway, I think the impact that that's making, regardless of the quality, you know, meaning like the narrative podcast thing, it's still creating an impact. And it is a powerful impact that and of this information that's coming out just for them getting together and doing it.
Fish Nerd's got an interesting email today telling him that they found the last few episodes of his podcast offensive and therefore they're canceling his show.
Oh,
And it was like signed by the podcasting commission or something like who was it signed by? Hold on. I think he put it in Podcast Movement. Where was it?
Well, actually it was actually also written to Daniel Lewis from the Audacity podcast. That he actually got the same email.
Wait, I didn't get to see that. Hold on.
He didn't put
Here's the message. Daniel. Okay. No, he didn't comment. Okay. He actually did not comment. So yeah, can I read it though? Because it's so funny.
Wait, can I read it?
Yeah.
Can I read it? This is the one that was sent to Daniel Lewis, okay? This was sent to Daniel Lewis. Let me just say that again.
Daniel Lewis, who has his own network called the Noodle MX Network, yes, and has like 15 shows on it. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Hello, Gareth.
It's already funny.
I hope you are well. Unfortunately, I do not bring good news today.
Fortunately, with the number 4 in there.
Yeah. I regret to announce that as of today, we have chosen to cancel your podcast. There will not be any further episodes of the Audacity podcast.
Wait, is it all one word? Like, so Fish Nerds is one word, Fish Nerds with a capital F.
No, it's actually written out, the Audacity the podcast. We understand this may come as a shock to you. Unfortunately, some of the content in the last few episodes has been unacceptable to us and offensive. We are therefore left with no choice but to discontinue.
No E.
Yes. Yes. Left with no choice but to discontinue your podcast as of immediately. I hope you understand why we have had to make this difficult decision, and we wish you the best of luck with further ventures going forward. Yours sincerely, Alex.
Alex? Is that what it said?
Yeah.
What is their deal?
I don't know. But if you guys got that letter, obviously nobody can cancel your podcast, dude, which is what I wrote. To the Fish Nerds guy.
Yeah, so the Fish Nerds guy got it, and obviously he's like, this came from the podcast authority. I don't recall having an agreement with them or submitting my feed to them. Anyone here have any interactions? And you said, this is a thing. Aren't you happy that you're the boss? But like, of your own podcast. It sounds like a scam. Yeah. I don't understand what they could be after. That's Steve Stewart. Unless you're... The thing is, like, are there links?
I don't know.
There's no call to action, no links. Clay said there's no link, no links attached whatsoever.
Yeah.
So what would be the purpose of just emailing podcasters and pretending to cancel their shows? I literally cannot think of one reason why that would be good for anybody.
And also, what's with the wrong name? Hello, Gareth.
Well, that's...
What?
That's in Gareth's case, but like in Clay's case, though, I think they got it right. His name's Clay, and I think it was Clay.
Well, that's just lame.
I think.
Whatever. But still, though.
Yeah, it says hello, Clay.
And also, just to let you know, I know it will freak you all out, but dude, you own your podcast. Nobody can cancel your podcast. Just to let you guys know out there listening, no one can cancel your show, which is why it's so awesome to podcast. That you own your show. No one can say you can't have it. Nobody can discontinue your podcast unless they discontinue it in their own ears.
I just don't understand.
Then they can do that. Neither do I, but whatever.
Zero links. Maybe they're trying to establish some kind of authority. But why? I can't get past the mystery. I can't.
And also past the lack of... spelling?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be authoritative, it is best to spell things correctly. That's my
experience
in trying to be an authority.
Yes.
Which I don't have a lot of. Yeah, right. I'm a bossy lady for sure.
Dude. All right. But anyway,
so
if you guys know the mystery or have gotten this, do let us
know.
Yeah. Because
I'm
even
Googling it, and I can't.
And
I can't even Google it.
Don't get scared. So, but now let's go into, we have to wrap this up here very soon, but now let's go over to the weird and wild show of the week.
Yeah.
Cause I found one that I thought that you would totally dig, Jess. Oh my God, it's hilarious. I actually haven't heard it either. Again, guys, I'm just reporting. So I found this on The Guardian, and the title of this article is Terrible. Thanks for asking. Podcasting's first real life weepy. So it basically is, you know, around the concept of somebody asking you how you're doing, and then you basically tell them the truth. And that
wait,
is
let's practice.
So you don't
can
like,
we practice?
Oh, everything's fine. Well, no, because I don't want to practice. I kind of
don't
want to
talk about how you're doing.
No, I don't want to talk about how I'm doing because I don't want to talk about it. I'd rather do it on a, no, I'm just kidding. I can talk about it at some other point. But
oh
let's talk about what it starts off with here. Look at this. Nora McKinney's podcast begins with the death of her partner from brain cancer. Oh. Her clever, witty words are guaranteed to make you cry on your commute. So basically, it's a downer.
So far.
It actually, yeah.
So far, it's a big old downer.
So basically, in the last couple of paragraphs here, it says, the way McKinney talks about grief is refreshing. She will make you cry on your commute. Her words are always clever, often witty, and sometimes matter of fact. Not to totally bum you out, but you're going to get through something hard in life, she says. The message is clear. Don't pretend you're fine. Talk about it. Terrible, thanks for asking, is not all about death. There is divorce, jealousy, and more of the uncomfortable stuff mm-hmm. to come. She says, I only cry 60% of the episode, says McKinney. If the first few are anything to go by, the listener's sob rate might be nearer to 100%, but that's okay. So if you want to cry.
Are you terrible? Thanks for asking.
Subscribe to Terrible. Thanks
are you terrible?
For asking. Says,
yeah.
Me? Are you talking to me? Well, I have lots of things that are happening right now that are particularly
that are
not making
yeah.
me happy. Yeah. That are terrible. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if yeah. I'm terrible.
So
I was doing what terrible
but, I mean,
is a strong word.
Well, terrible is a strong word, but it's not terrible as in like my life sucks. There's a lot of internal turmoil that's happening in my life right now that is of a personal nature that has nothing to do with my immediate family.
Yes, I would probably describe my headspace
so,
as exactly that. I don't even think I could repeat
yeah,
it.
So
but if somebody were to say, how are you doing? I don't think the appropriate answer is I'm kind of annoyed that my body is aging. My hair is too short. Something's going on with my skin. I'm pretty sure I need to go to the doctor, but I'm not. But for so many different things, I don't know where to start. And all of it is probably either hormonal right. or aging. Fine. How are you?
Right. And get deeper into that. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
further.
Like
we're exhausted.
The, yeah.
but, my no, but, skin is dry.
There's like
I feel
lots
overwhelmed
of stuff,
and
so,
unmotivated
anyway.
All at the same time. I'm also extremely motivated. Yet, yeah, yes. I mean, terrible is a strong word though. Like these are not. That's a strong word.
Yeah,
terrible
is a strong
would
word.
Be how I would describe yeah. someone who, you know, had their partner die or even a parent.
Yeah, I mean that there's and so all this stuff here.
Maybe we
is,
should do the
like
meh.
So anyway,
thanks for asking podcast. Meh is probably
for, yeah,
a
that,
better
that also, meh.
Term to describe my current mental state. Meh.
State. Meh.
Nah, I can't even get that down. I'm pretty good. I have a pretty good. I mean, I have to really have a disaster before I'm meh even.
Before you're mad terrible. So,
yeah.
But anyway, there is that. So I mean, if any of you guys are terrible or any you want to feel terrible with other people
yeah.
or if you happen to want to be emphatic, you can listen to this show and you'll more than likely cry.
Speaking, yeah.
I'm not
Speaking
sure that I would. I don't think that
There's a cool show out there called yeah. The Lonely Hour, which is different people talking about being lonely and the different aspects of loneliness and talking about different times they were lonely. And like, it's a new client. I always seem to talk about my new clients because I'm always fascinated by what the hell they're talking about. And it was
yeah.
really fun and interesting to come up with potential sponsors for the Lonely Hour because like they were like, well, you know, it focuses on loneliness and depression. And I was like, I would give my left arm for an hour's worth of lonely. Like I would kill someone. I would do anything to be left alone for an hour.
That'd
I don't even
nice.
Know what loneliness feels like. I've had children since I was 22. Who the fuck knows what it's like to be lonely? Not me. And he was like, well, that's an interesting point of view. And I was like, are there any sponsors out there that celebrate the hell out of being by yourself? Let's call those people. But anyway, it's another tearjerker. And actually, they're a a little network, they also have something called the Memory Motel and a new show, which is, you know, similar to The Lonely Hour, but it's about memory and memories, special or no. And then another show called, a new one called What's Happening Here, which is similar to the one that you were discussing in the garage, but basically it centers around immigrant high school kids who are preparing for graduation and having to do a personal essay in English as a second language. And so the whole season is about this one day, this one assignment of having to do an English personal essay. And basically the whole season is interviewing the different high school students about their experience. And then the next season That's will awesome. Be about something totally different. What's Happening Here. It's kind of a, yeah, it's a cool, it's
totally
a very
dig
cool
that.
But yeah, but Terrible, thanks for asking. That. Getting a little deep. I gotta roll up my pants.
Yeah, it's a little bit of deep. I'm not sure that I would choose that. Like, for me, sometimes, you know, podcasting, when I listen, it's a little bit of an escapist thing for me. Unless I want to learn something specific. You know, unless I'm like, oh, I want to learn how to do this, or I want to learn more information about that. Then that's like, it's more like, hey, you know, like, studying. But usually when I listen, the majority, I would say about 85-90% of the time, I'm listening not to
I was just going to say, I like to avoid things like, that make me sad because I tend to be annoying. I can be annoyingly empathetic and I'll just think about it all day.
Yes. And we'll see with me, I'm annoyingly, I don't know if, how do you say it when you like, is it, I guess it is emphatic, empathetic. Not emphatic.
Yeah, you take empathic. On the people's feelings.
Because yes. I feel, I take, yes, I do. And I cannot deal with that. Like the first few years, like my parents didn't really allow me to watch anything that wasn't a PG-13 movie for many years. And of course, because I was who I was, I didn't. Even when I was like, you know what I mean? So I watched like a PG-13.
I thought you were going to say you did.
No, I didn't. And so I really didn't watch anything that was like rated R until I was in my, after I was 18, around 18, 19, 20 years old. So some of the first movies, like one of the first movies that shook me to my core to such a degree that I could barely get myself together was Dances
never
with Wolves.
It.
Because I'd never seen anything. Oh, and Roots, not Roots.
Can't
sorry.
Watch
what
Roots.
Was the other one? Oh my God,
Roots.
There was another
never
one.
Watch Roots.
Not Roots. It was the gosh darn it. There was another Civil War one that came out around the when I was at that age, probably like late '80s, early '90s. There was another one, but I forgot what it's called. But anyway, Glory. Oh my God,
I can't watch
Glory,
movies about people being
the movie
tortured
Glory.
And sad for this exact reason.
So anyway. That was the first time, Glory was the first time that I had seen any kind of violence like that in front of me. And I couldn't get myself together for day. I couldn't handle it, Jess. So, and Dances, again, it was so impactful for me and to such a degree that I was a sobbing, like, compulsion. Like, I could not even get a breath in. So
I'm not that
like
severe,
so
but Sopranos was a pretty
business.
Depressing, sad,
severe.
Many, 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 many
I never
episodes.
Was
some were funny,
that.
But most of them were depressing and sad. I would watch it right before bed and then go to sleep and dream that I was
oh
in
my
it
God.
The whole night. That I was in it, that I was, I mean, and I was different characters. Deal. Sometimes I was Michael, sometimes I was Adriana, sometimes I was, you know, like just like a guest at parties, but like it really like messed with my head in such a weird way. I was so glad when it got canceled. Can't even tell you.
Oh my God.
Oh, well, I can't
yeah,
watch
I don't
stuff
think
like
I,
that
yeah,
either.
Yeah, I didn't really watch that. No. So then anyway, that was not, it's going to not be a good podcast. But anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. La, 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 happiness. So if you want to see, like Jess just put up a conversation that we had via text on our Patreon. If you want to see it, we're not going to talk about it because it's funny.
Yeah.
It's only funny
and
if
we're
going to
start putting
it.
More
we're
random stuff up like that. Like just
like
little
that.
Exchanges between us or photos of our day. Or I just want to start posting some fun stuff on there. Yeah.
More stuff that's like, yes. Just and there's going to be other stuff too. That's going to be
you can only
more,
get it if you are
you know, not like
a supporter,
paying for your not.
Right?
A supporter of She Podcast. That's right. So patreon.com/She Podcast. Go check it out. $1 a month would be amazing for all of us.
To
and
those of you who have already done so, thank you so much. We are starting to see.
Yes. I'm making a list on my bullet journal.
Patreons? Of the patrons?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. They're going to have a special page. On
you know,
my
maybe if
journal.
We offered something like, you know, there's people out there who podcast and like for X amount per month, they get a mention on the show. And just from our own editor, John, having us talk about his business was so full of clients, you could barely see straight. Maybe we could just see how many people we could just mention at the end for X amount of dollars. We should talk about that.
Well, I think that, well, we'll see, because I think everybody, yeah, absolutely. And if with the podcasters, I mean, you know, Sari Williams from Tough Girl Challenges.com. She's getting another mention because
you,
she's
Sarah.
Amazing. And she keeps
she's
on
so
pushing
good.
Our patron, and she keeps on coming up. And it's like, just for you to have, for us to have
you to have us
mind
top
and
of
bliss
mind.
Again, the way that you find out. Yeah. The other way that most people find podcasts is by other podcasts. And that is proven. And even the big guns know about that because they cross promote with each other. So we are.
We love you.
We
also,
love
I just want to tell you,
we love
we
you
are
and
now
we will
at
promote
$29
you.
A month with our patrons. So,
woohoo! Yes, we are.
How much do I have to pay
Nothing.
To Patreon now to get
a mention.
Mention? How much is that now? How much do I have to pay?
Nothing. You'll always have a mention, John. Begins.
Always. We but for the rest of you,
always
cough it up.
Audio. I know. Cough it up. AudioEditingSolutions.com, guys.
$29 a month, which don't forget, we split between us. So it's $14.50 for each of us. So thank you. All it takes is $1,
That's
listeners.
$1 awesome.
A month. Thank you guys so much
$1.
For listening. You can find us everywhere at shepodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, and our website. That's it for today. Goodbye. Right?
Yeah, baby. Goodbye.
Love you.
Yes,
it.
Goodbye. Bye. Love you.